Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. All right, you guys, welcome to a new episode of Go Bayside, the Saved by the Bell podcast, where I have a friend come over, watch an episode with me, and then we critically deconstruct it for you. I like to make it sound really academic. Today's guest is a very special guest, and you're very kind to come over and do this with me.
Thank you. The pleasure is all mine.
This is Diablo Cody, everyone. And
hello.
She came over, and she's got some mind-blowing theories that we're going to get into, by the way, that at the end of this episode, comparing this to some critically acclaimed other TV shows.
I have to say, it's been a while since I've watched Saved by the Bell, and I didn't realize how thoughtful some of the choices that were made on the show were.
Right.
So I think I'm coming at it from an industry perspective now,
of course.
Like, I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm thrilled to hear it with your experience, what you think of it too. The episode that we just watched is called The Fight, and the original air date was September 12th, 1992. And then I just need to give you a brief synopsis, and then we can really get into our notes.
Okay. You'd like me to give the synopsis?
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens is a new girl comes to school on the first day of senior year, and her name is Joanna Pearson, which we decided is a total 80s mom name.
Totally.
And she has an incredible rack and a nice butt.
Yes.
And she has jeans with the pockets placed very high, as was the style of the time, that really actually makes your butt look super high and good. And the B story... Oh, I'm sorry. Slater and Zach both fall in love with her,
yes,
which is like a typical Saved by the Bell problem.
Mm-hmm.
Then the B story is Lisa has a crush on a guy that turns out to be a freshman, and she invites him to... Am I giving too much away?
No. We're giving an overview of the plot.
We got to build the suspense.
Yeah.
And she invites him to the senior party.
Kickoff party, yeah.
Senior party, which I guess
is a thing. Yeah.
And that's an issue because he's literally a child.
Yes.
And then...
that's true. Yeah.
And then also there's a humorous runner involving Mr. Belding getting some kind of hairpiece.
Yeah. To be hotter or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't work.
No, that was a beautiful synopsis. That was great.
Thanks.
It opens... It's the first day of school and it opens with Zach talking to the camera and he says, it's the first day of school. I'm psyched because we're seniors. And then that's when everyone's like, this is so great. We're going to tool on freshmen the whole time. And that's a guy comes in who is a freshman, presumably, because he's like, hey, where's the bathroom?
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, it's on the roof next to the pool. And then like, have a good laugh. And that's when I asked, like, in my high school, it wasn't that much of a divide between, I mean, yes, I'm sure seniors made fun of, but it wasn't like
this huge deal.
I don't feel like seniors cared not enough about the freshmen to concoct these like elaborate
to like actively
pranks,
prank them and stuff. And also, even if you are a dumb freshman, you know, and you've never been to, like, common sense tells you there's probably not a pool on the roof. So you wouldn't just be like, okay, sound, that checks out.
I would, like, believe anything when I was a freshman, though. Like this guy when I was a freshman told me he was friends with Ted Nugent, and I totally bought it. Which, like, maybe in like, first of all, why
Where
was
did
I
you
impressed?
Grow up?
I was in the Chicago burbs.
Okay.
So knowing Ted Nugent would be, like, the impossible dream.
Yeah,
whereas
wait,
out here,
Ted Nugent?
Like,
isn't he from, like, Detroit or
look,
something?
I don't fucking know why it was a thing, but I distinctly remember this happening at freshman orientation.
Okay.
So I think freshman, I would believe there was a pool on the roof.
Right. Oh, okay.
Is what I'm
okay,
saying.
So how did that work out for you? Like, you were like, hey, can you introduce me to Ted Nugent? Like, did you try to?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was like, I mean, look, I've always been an incredibly gullible person.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, I am too. I prefer to call it trusting, by the way.
Okay.
Trusting. Like, but I love you trying to push it. And then the guy had, did he finally have to break and go, I don't really know Ted Nugent. Like, we can't hang out with Ted Nugent. I lied to you.
I don't remember what happened.
Oh, okay.
I just remember, like, the shame slowly descending on me as I realized he didn't know Ted Nugent.
Right, right. If you can lie about being friends with somebody, why would you pick Ted Nugent?
Probably because it's, like, slightly believable, because why would you pick Ted Nugent?
Well, yeah, I guess that's true. It's like, why would you?
Yeah, like, if you're, like, I'm friends with Madonna, of course it's bullshit. Yeah, but if I say, like, oh, you know, I'm kind of friends with Christopher Hewitt from Mr. Belvedere. Like, someone might be like, oh, well, it must be true because it would lie about that.
Also, I'm extra laughing because all that comes to mind is that Saturday Night Live sketch where they're like the guy who plays Mr. Belvedere fan club meeting with
to
Tom
tear
Hanks.
The skin to yes. wear the skin. Yes. Yes, it's like the greatest sketch ever.
Totally, yeah. It was Hanks, wasn't it?
Yes,
yeah, because that's on his best of thing that I have. Oh, so good. Okay, so yeah, so they are pranking freshmen, and freshmen are falling for it, and then that's when somebody comes in and is like, "Hey, are you guys psyched about the senior kickoff party?"
Yeah.
Which, again, I guess that's a thing at Bayside. We didn't have that.
Oh, they have so many things at Bayside.
Yeah, they have a million
dances.
They have
oil under their football field, April. It's a special
thing. So they can afford to throw these fancy parties. So they're like, it's going to be awesome. No parents, no chaperones. How great. No Mr. Belding. And then that's when he walks in, and Mr. Belding is wearing, like, this giant toupee. Or wig. It's just a full-on wig, actually, because it includes a ponytail.
It looks like a coonskin cap as a wig.
It totally does. It totally does, because it totally has that tail. And then he's also wearing, like, an Arsenio Hall blazer, like this loud, bright,
like,
blazer.
The lapels are, like, a different color than the...
Yeah.
It's like he's trying to be, like, early 90s cool.
Totally. And so he comes in and he's, like, all strutting, like, what's up, guys? I'm cool. And then they're all... You know, they're just like, what is going on? They try to give him all these fakey compliments. They're like, have you lost weight? And at one point, Jesse goes, did you get taller? Which you were like,
yeah, like, I don't think a 45-year-old man is going to grow over the summer.
Yeah,
but
growth spurt.
But, lazy writing.
So they go, so they're all trying to play it off. And then he says, well, my wife, like, lost a lot of weight, so I got to do this to keep my babe. Now, I get how at home that works, which, by the way, I need to warn you as a first-time guest, I get really deep into it, and I'm going to pick apart
good.
So
it's
much
good.
Of
Go
this.
Ahead.
So I get how at home that would happen. Like, at home, you're like, I got to look hotter for my wife. Why do you need to do that at school around kids? Your wife doesn't see you at school. You're
That's
just around these
point.
Kids. Like, you don't need to look cool and hot for these kids.
Maybe he's, like, method. Like, he can't be hot. He can't be hot at home unless he just sustains it 24/7.
He's got to be hot all day long.
He's the Daniel Day-Lewis of trying to look like Shadow Stevens.
Yeah. Shadow Stevens.
Isn't that seem kind of like what
totally,
he was going for?
Yeah. Totally, totally. And also, didn't it trip you out that guy spelled his name Shadoe? That's how he spelled his name.
Not only did he, but I remember reading in the Inquirer at, like, my grandma's house that he claims his real name was, like, something normal.
Yeah.
And, like, Shadow spelled that way came to him in, like, a vision.
Of course it did.
It was like, I heard a voice whisper to me, Shadow.
And specifically, like, spell it D-O-E. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that worked out well for him.
It's very spiritual.
What did that? He was on, like, Hollywood Squares, wasn't he?
And that's it, I think.
I swear to God, I think that was, like, his thing. Wow, okay, well, that really worked out, changed his name and everything. But no, he totally, he looks like that. He's got, like, these flowing locks, and he's like, I'm just trying to look hot for my babe. And then, I think Joanna Peterson, like, walks down the hall?
Joanna Peterson.
Everybody leaves, but then she, because Zach meets her first.
This new student shows up,
yeah,
who is lovely, but definitely looks like she's
minimum 40 years old.
Minimum 40.
Minimum.
And which was, you know, the styling of the time contributes to that.
That is true. Me and Millie have talked, my best friend Millie, we talk about this all the time, how like the hot chicks in 80s videos straight up look like our mom. Like, because they're wearing like those high cut bikinis.
Those bikinis that are like pulled up.
Tons of makeup.
Yes.
And they could be like 20, but they look 40. But that was the hotness,
yes,
factor. Like, because I look back at those and I'm like, in the 80s, I would have been hot as shit. But now I'm like, not. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Because that was the regulation hotness. Like, your standard issue hot chick in like a David Lee Roth California Girls video.
People are expected to be way hotter now, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at Demi Moore in like St. Elmo's Fire, like, she's actually hotter now.
Right.
Not just because she's in defying genetics somehow in some incredible way, but like, she's hotter. Like, you were allowed to have, like, furry eyebrows and, like be a little chubby. And, like, that was, it sucks.
But you were still, like, quote-unquote hot chick.
Totally.
Whereas now you have to be, like, flawless or you're a dog.
It's rough.
Like, it's crazy.
It is. I agree. I agree that standards have gotten tougher over time.
Yeah, so Joanna, but she totally fits in that, like, weird 40-year-old lady is a hot lady in the 80s thing. And she is wearing a vest and her jeans tucked into boots. She's very, like, Blaze of Glory.
Yeah.
Outfit, like, totally could be in that movie. But I think everybody is already kind of dispersed because it's just like Zach at his locker. She walks up and then that's when he's like, hey, what's up, haven't seen you around, kind
of
thing.
Well, at first he points to her butt and breaks the fourth wall and like looks at us like, can you believe this ass,
right?
And then he asks her out,
but yes, he totally does, but in a way that's so not teenage. It's a super like, come here often kind of line that like no teenagers would do.
That's one of the consistently weird things about this show, though.
Yeah, is that they always put the words of the old ass writers in the mouths of these kids. So he's super like, haven't seen you around here, come here often kind of thing. And she's like, oh, I'm new. And he's like, oh, you're hot, whatever. And then they go to the next scene is class. And they're all sitting in class. And then it ends up that Slater is sitting next to her, I think. Because then he's like, hey, this lady's hot.
Right, yeah. So then, of course, Slater decides that he's in love with her as well.
Of course.
Setting up our conflict.
And then, so this class, apparently, the lady who's supposed to teach it is like a super slack teacher and never gives homework, right? So she's not there yet. And then the new teacher comes in and is like this total stern taskmaster, like, get out your pencils, we're having a test. And then that's when Zach comes in thinking it's going to be the other teacher and says, rock and roll, guys, let's let the party begin.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I wrote this down is because I get that they're seniors. I get that they got one foot out the door. And I get even that this class was supposed to be taught by like a lady with a rep for being slack. All those factors included, you still would never enter a classroom saying, rock and roll, guys, are you ready to party? Like, imagine if you sat in class and somebody walked in and said that. You'd be like, who's his door? Even if it was like a cool dude.
It wouldn't have gone over well.
Yeah, you'd just be like, okay, dude, sit down.
But I went to the kind of school where you would be like expelled.
Yeah.
For using party as a verb.
Yeah.
While class was in session. Like, well, I went to strict Catholic school. So all of this is frankly foreign to me.
Right.
All of it.
Wow, really?
I feel like I'm watching public school. Oh, you okay.
Yeah, but even still, it's like if somebody walked into class saying that, you'd just be like, what? And even if the teacher was a quote unquote cool teacher, she'd be like, shut up, you have detention. Like,
I just want to say that the teacher who comes in, the tough teacher,
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure, like, something about his delivery, I think that was probably like a Shakespearean actor slumming.
Completely. I definitely think that has happened in previous episodes too, where it's like Shakespeare in the Park type people are like, well, I gotta take this.
He had a real presence.
To pay the bills.
Yeah.
He had a real presence. He was very convincingly stern. Well, yeah, so he comes in and he's like, whatever, you guys have a test. And he's like, take out your pencils, you have a test. And that's when Lisa and her caboodles.
She has her pencils in a full-size caboodles.
Full size.
Like,
on her desk.
I didn't even know you could use that for them. I think I had a Sassabee, which was like the discount caboodles.
Totally. I had that too. I think it's still at my parents' house. And I didn't wear makeup, so I forget what I put in it. I feel like I put cassette tapes and stuff in it. Like, I didn't even use it for what it was intended. But I wish I had. I just didn't know how to do makeup then. I'm only just now learning at 34. Okay, so Okay, the next scene is they're back in the hallway and they're all like hanging at their lockers. And then that's when Darren, this kid, walks by. And that's when Lisa goes, who is that fine looking creature over there?
And by the way, we can't see his face. Can she.
Nope.
So I don't know how she can tell he's a fine looking creature, although probably the same way Zach did with the girl. Like just
from the back.
Just butt.
You could just tell he's a tall drink of water. He's very tall. So she says that. And then, and let's be real with these writers, it's because he's the only other black kid in school.
Yeah, if one other black person walks in, he's going to date Lisa.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's how the writers have it set up. And then, okay, they are all, nobody has seen him before. Because, like, Lisa's like, who's that guy? Jesse and Kelly are like, we don't know, we've never seen him. So, they don't take into, yes, Joanna was a new student first day of senior year, which is kind of weird, but it happens. But if you multiple people doing that is kind of weird, and if they've never seen him before, they might go for a second, well, he could be a freshman, we've never seen him in the 4 years we've been here.
They just don't consider the possibility.
Yeah, they don't even at all. And so
he is a good looking guy despite being 11.
He is.
And
he's very tall. I mean, he's like taller than all them, and they're grown.
He has like an incredible array of Cosby sweaters.
Oh my
we will
god
see
yes
as the episode unfolds.
They're very vibrant. But yeah, so she just marches right over and is like, hey, do you want to go to this fresh or the senior party with me? And he's just like, yes, of course I do. And then we're back at the Max. And then that's when Slater and Zach are sitting at the table and they start to tell each other, I met the hottest chick today. What? No way. So did I. And then that's when Zach goes, wait, do you see my chick? She makes Madonna look like Bart Simpson.
I appreciate them trying to shoehorn the pop culture into there, but that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Like she makes a human woman look like a yellow cartoon generated in Korea.
Yeah.
That doesn't even make any sense. Like, it's such
don't
a weird
it? That's
comparison.
How hot she is. Yeah. No, totally. I mean, it's like the most obvious case of the 50 plus year old writers being like, hey, what are the kids watching?
The Simpsons.
Yeah. The Simpsons is big.
Don't have a cow.
So that's when, because they already start arguing before they even meet. Like, they immediately, like, Slater's like, you can't cut in. Like, neither one of them is even knows who the other girl is, but they're already fighting weirdly about it. Like, they're already like, it's my she's my property, so don't touch.
They always act, I'm telling you, I didn't realize until today, like, how just legit creepy Zach and Slater are.
Oh, totally.
Like, they have no interest in getting to know anybody.
Not at all.
They just want to...
And they all, and again, they've only talked to this girl so far, and they're already like, she's mine.
Yeah.
I introduced myself to her in the hallway, therefore she is mine.
I mean, to be fair, I did that stuff sometimes when I was, like, a kid.
Oh, well.
You'd see, like, a group of guys and be like, oh, the guy in the starter jacket is mine.
Right. You'd call him.
It didn't mean it was going to happen.
Right. But it would just be like, your friends knew, like, don't go over there. That's my dude. The guy in the starter jacket. I love it.
Yeah.
So then she walks into the Max. And that's when they go, you know, Slater's like, hey, that's the girl I was telling you about. What? That's the girl I was telling you about. And they run up and then they ask her out simultaneously, which I think is pretty funny because it's a pretty intricate.
It was well done.
Yeah. They weren't like, hey, we go out with me. It was like, hey, Joanna, will you go to the senior kickoff party with me, please? Or whatever. So they say that entirely at the same time.
At which point Zach and Slater should have realized that they're soulmates.
Yeah. Because, they should have, like, turned each other and kissed.
Not only did
moment.
They say the same thing at the exact same time, but it was like they phrased it identically.
Totally. Same, like, cadence, like same.
Yeah,
everything.
It was like
they should
God.
Have just looked at each other and hugged. And
love
then
is
that
right there in
it.
Front of you.
Yeah, totally. Can't see the forest for the trees, fellas. So then she goes, she's like, thank you. I've never been asked out at the same time by two guys simultaneously. Give me time to think about it. And that's when they sit next to her at the table, staring at her while she thinks, because they think that means seconds. Give me a few seconds to think about it.
Yeah.
And then when Slater tries to sit down, Zach kicks the chair out from under him, which is
amazing.
A genuine laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The floor in the Max must be like rubber or something.
Yeah.
Because Slater's always doing all that physical comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. He totally, like,
Slater wipes out.
Yeah. He wipes out, bounces back up. Which I think so too. It's a solid move. And then the next day, yeah, we're back at school. The next day, Joanna's wearing another really sweet blazer, jeans tucked into boots again. Zach, I swear to God, is wearing like the most coogie sweater. I think Biggie Smalls was wearing the sweater on an album cover. It is like the coogiest of coogie sweaters. It's
coogie,
insane.
That's what it is.
Yeah. It's so huge and patterned. It's like from Biggie Smalls' closet. So they're all in class and they're trying to like help her. They're getting her in trouble because they're talking to her in class. And then I feel like I'm skipping something. Yeah, so they do that.
Yeah,
and,
wait. Yeah.
Like they like the teacher asks for an answer to a question and they're like trying to fight over. They're like whispering the right answer in her ear and they're fighting over it and they're trying to get her attention. They all get in trouble.
Which is a really claustrophobic, weird scene.
Yeah, and I feel like the teacher, the way the class is set up, it's like two to a table and they're three at this table. Like that right there, the teacher would have been like, you guys can't sit there.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to move.
I know.
It's especially clearly two to a table.
Teacher is supposedly such a hard ass.
And right.
He's willing to let these two like McGangbang this poor girl like, in the middle. Like, I don't know what else.
Totally.
It's just like, yeah.
Because they're also like sitting so close to her.
I know.
Yeah. That would never, when I, my senior year, I barely did any, I was shitty in high school constantly, but senior year especially, I'm like, whatever, I don't care, I'm out of here. And me and my friend Jeremy, who had been best friends since we were like 12, got in this botany class together, which was also, when you're seniors at my school, like, you're pretty much done with your core stuff, so you just took whatever was available kind of thing. So we took this botany class, and we wanted to do that. We wanted to sit in the back together. This is a dumb story. We did sometimes. We were able to do it, but like it was the same kind of thing where it was this table set up with like two things, and at first the teacher tried to do assigned seats, and we're like, no way, me and Jeremy are sitting together. And we would like argue with her because like, we were assholes and didn't care. And then there was a metal filing cabinet next to the table, and we used to take the rolling chair from the front of the room and sometimes take turns pushing each other. It was like chair rodeo, we
this
called
is
it.
Fun.
And so we would just push each other into the metal filing cabinet like as fast and hard as possible.
Good
we
times.
Were 18-year-old seniors sitting in the back. But yeah, so she wouldn't let us sit together, and we weren't even trying to do each other. That's
so,
a terrible
story. Wouldn't have been allowed. No, it was a good story.
That was a terrible story. That's the kind of things I was doing as an 18-year-old.
I got moved away from a kid in French class because we were writing, like, by the way, this wasn't even someone I was, like, involved with.
Right.
It was just a guy, and we would write the most incredibly fucking graphic pornographic stories and pass them back and forth.
In French or in English?
In English.
Uh-huh.
Pass them back and forth during French class, and we were separated.
Yeah, me and Jeremy were not dating, never dated, never wanted to date, but, like, she still was like, you guys can't sit together. Because you're such a disruption. So, I feel like our stories prove if these people are trying to fuck this girl, they especially wouldn't be able to sit next to her and try to run that game during class.
I just felt bad for her because I feel like she wasn't into either of them.
Oh, no, I don't think so either. I think she's like, it's my first day at school.
Which it's like, sorry, you're not going to find anybody cuter than Slater.
Yeah,
I like Slater. I'm just putting that out there.
No,
I think he's super attractive.
I'm with you. I'm a Zach girl, but that's like my type in life,
yeah.
Like in general. But having said that, though, even they're both obviously very attractive dudes. I'm just saying, my mind would be blown. If it's my first day at school, first of all, I was not a cool person in high school. Like, this would never happen to me. But if I walked into high school and the two hottest dudes are immediately on my shit and immediately like are so aggressively pursuing me that they're getting in trouble, I would feel awesome.
Yeah, it'd be great.
I'd feel awesome.
Don't you sometimes think if you could have the chance to be the new girl that could happen? Because I never got to be new.
I never did either.
I always knew everybody forever.
Yeah.
And like I remember when like I was like a junior in high school, this girl came from California, exotic California.
Yes.
And she was blonde and she was the new student. And it was like this episode.
Right.
Like every guy
like
in the class was like falling over themselves to ask her out.
Was she that hot or was it just the novelty of the newness?
I think it was probably. I'm not saying, I'm not like throwing shade. She was cute.
Yeah.
But like it didn't warrant that level.
Right.
So I'm saying I think it's novelty.
It is.
There's somebody new.
It's like this is a girl I haven't seen before.
Right.
That makes her hotter.
Exactly.
Totally. Yeah, I never had that either. So, but that doesn't mean they aren't dicks for the ownership stuff. Of course, that's weird
of
and
course.
Gross. But I'm saying a little, come on. She's into it a little bit. So the next scene is they're in the girls' locker room. Like Lisa, Kelly, and Jesse are in the girls' locker room. And Lisa comes in being like, oh my God, y'all. Some senior girl asked a freshman dude to the party and committed social suicide. Can you fucking believe this? This is so insane. And it's like tripping balls over this.
Yeah.
And then that's when they have to be like, oh, that's you, dog. Now, with this, like I said, in my school, it was not that big of a deal.
I mean,
she says social suicide, like the concept of a senior dating a freshman.
Look, if a senior guy dated a freshman girl, fine.
That happened every day of the week.
If I had, honestly though, senior girl, freshman guy, I'm not going to go so far as to call it social suicide. Eccentric? Maybe.
Yeah. Yes. But and also, I don't think anybody would really know. I don't remember at our school people even knowing. It's not like you looked at somebody immediately and were like, they're freshmen. I know that they're freshmen.
Well,
like, people
just kind of don't know, even.
I went to a huge school, though. I graduated with like 1,000 people.
That's big.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially when you consider, I'm not trying to completely deconstruct this like a crazy person, although that's kind of what
I'm
here.
The whole point.
I like, if you think about like the developmental differences between like a 14-year-old boy and an 18-year-old woman.
That's true. That's
like,
true.
Like, it's scandalous.
No, it totally, even now, like, I don't want to date younger dudes. Like,
yeah, like, yeah. I wouldn't
even
wanna, like,
in
I'm
their
like
20s,
35.
I'm like, oh, no.
I don't want to date a guy who's like 30.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm married, but like, you
no,
see
I totally,
saying?
I'm with you. I'm 34, and like, I, this guy on OkCupid who was like 23 was hollering. And I, at first, I was like, okay. And then after a couple of messages, I made a joke about it. I was like, I'm over 10 years older than you. Like, I don't understand why this is even appealing to you at all. And then he said something about the wisdom of old. And I was like,
I
bye.
Don't like that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm 34, not 80. Like, bye, dude. As soon as he broke out that wisdom shit, I was like, I'm good. It's okay. Yeah.
See, I had a young guy ask me out recently, the barista at the coffee shop that I go to.
Nice.
And he,
how
did,
young
he didn't
would
know
you
I
guess?
Was married. He was 24.
Okay.
And I said to him, first of all, I said, I'm sorry, I'm coupled. And yes. I said, secondly, I said, you know, I'm way older than you.
Yeah.
I said, you know, I'm 35. And he was like, oh, well, he said, I don't care. My last girlfriend was 50. And then I wasn't flattered anymore.
Me too, because that's what I
got
from this guy.
Oh, you just like old people.
Yes, that's exactly
what
I took from
that guy's
message.
Yeah, like, no, I wanted him to be like, oh, no, I thought you were my age.
Exactly.
Not, oh, I deliberately am into you because you're aged.
That's exactly where, when we got to the point where we broke out the wisdom, that's when I was like, oh, you just go for old ladies.
Wisdom.
Like, that's your thing.
It's rough.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. And I don't think I like look old. I have no qualms.
No, not at all.
Or whatever, but it's just, yeah, when he went to that point, I'm like, oh, you do this on purpose, and likely your last girlfriend was also 50 or whatever. Yeah, that's weird. That's weird, and I don't like it. And also, yeah, I'm not, like, super mature, but I just feel like a 20-something-year-old dude, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be cleaning their apartment for them and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just,
I'm probably offending, like, a lot of 20-year-old dudes listening to that. You guys, you're great. You're mature. You're fine.
Let's face it, like, Lisa's probably sexually active at this point. And I mean, she doesn't want to. You don't think so?
The
caboodle is closed.
This debate comes up on many episodes because I can't decide. Like, there are episodes where I'm like, oh, yeah, they fucking. And then there are other episodes where I'm like, no, they've never done anything.
Zach and Kelly, definitely.
See,
no. Did they ever address that on the college years? Because sometimes they try to get more serious.
Oh, actually, I can't remember. I watched the college years, but like once through, not like this. But I don't know, because there are just some episodes where I can't tell. Where I do think, oh, Zach and Kelly absolutely lost their virginity to each other. But then there'll be an episode where they talk about things so delicately and such that I'm like, oh, y'all didn't even like finger blast.
Yeah.
Like, I can't tell.
It's hard. I mean, Slater, I think it's pretty safe to say, is one of those guys who like lost his virginity to the babysitter when he was like 10.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I think
I'm
so
sorry.
Too.
It's,
yeah.
But like,
he was like that little Hercules guy who was on Howard Stern, who was like ripped and had muscles of, like 8. So he was like crushing puss when he was like 12.
Totally. But, like, yeah, I it's hard to say. I would think
Zach and Kelly, I'm on the fence about. Lisa could be getting some outside of school, I guess, because they never have her dating anybody at school.
I would think Lisa would have figured out how to trade pussy for goods and services at this point.
Just
clothes.
Like, she's got a sugar daddy at like 15.
Exactly. That's why
she
I'm surprised.
Fancy clothes. Jesse, I'm not sure about. Jesse and Slater. I mean, I guess
Jesse's
Jesse and
like
Slater
liberated,
probably did
though.
It. Yeah. So yeah, because there were some episodes. Moshe Kasher was on, and it was an episode where like Jesse and Slater talk about like seeing other people. So like Moshe's like, oh, she's poly. Jesse's already like poly as a teenager. Like she's sophisticated enough to understand the concept of like free love.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
So,
like, she's read like Fear of Flying and stuff.
Yeah,
she's,
yeah.
Like,
so I think her and Slater probably had sex. Yes. Zach and Kelly, I kind of feel like they didn't.
Kelly just thinks she's so perfect.
Yeah.
That she would just never, like, never.
She never gave it up. Even to the college guy, Jeff, I don't think she gave it up. That's why I cheated on her. Because he was like, I got to get my dick wet. I'm in college. You know what I mean? So that episode, it's like, of course he cheated on you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but Lisa, okay, so Lisa comes in. She's like, full reeking out. I can't believe somebody asked a freshman to the thing. And then that's when Jesse and Lisa have to go, or Jesse and Kelly have to say, that's you. It's you that did that.
But of course, the guy shows up before they can.
Well, right? No, this is in the girls' locker room, because at first she screams and is like, oh my God, what am I going to do about it?
I'm so confused. This is a really complicated show.
Yeah, there are lots of plots going on.
There's
in
a
this
lot
one.
Going on.
So yeah, so she's like, so she just screams and freaks out about it. The next scene is in Zach's room where he's having a study date with Joanna. And so she comes over, you know, Zach's turned down the light, like classic study date moves.
Yeah.
Then the door, there's a knock on the door and it's Slater. And this is another situation where I love imagining Zach's parents. Zach's room is clearly upstairs. That's established mm-hmm. in previous episodes. So that means like a girl comes over. They're like, sure, Zach, this is your study date, whatever. But then Slater comes over and his parents are just like, yeah, go upstairs. Like they don't go, oh, he's got somebody up there. Oh, he's hanging out with a girl. You know, you have to get past his parents to get up there. So they're like, yeah, Slater, go up there with your leaf blower.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
He comes in with a... The leaf blower was a weird choice.
Yeah, because he goes...
He basically says he's going to clean... He's going to... He owes Zach some money, and yes. Now is a good time to work it off.
Yeah, because clearly he's coming to interrupt
it. Yeah,
he just wants to
interrupt the study date. And...
Yeah. So he says that. He's like, I'm here to work it off by vacuuming your room, but it's a leaf blower. It's weirdly like a leaf blower that sucks instead of blows.
Wayne's World style. I'm glad it wasn't just me who was confused by that, because I thought maybe you understood why.
No, I had no...
The leaf blower sucked up the paper.
I had no idea. And it also, it was, if you were using it as a vacuum for real, it was like the least effective. It was like a foot off of the carpet.
It was ridiculous.
It made no sense. It made zero sense. But that's another thing, though. Like, he came to Zach's house carrying that, and Zach's parents were like, sure,
head on up with the leaf blower.
Zach's room. We have no questions about what's going on. Just go on up there with a leaf blower.
I mean, it would be, if I'm Zach's parents, I'm first going to have to, every time Slater comes over, I'm going to have to establish, like where are you guys at in the cycle? Are you best friends right now, or do you want to kill each other? Because it just seems to vacillate.
Are you here to fight him or to hang out?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to know this.
You kill him with the fucking leaf blower, or are you guys going to go blow some leaves?
Yes.
I need to know.
But just in general, I'd be like, so you're bringing a leaf blower into the house. Ah, cool, checks out, go upstairs.
It was lazy.
Yeah, so he, the vacuum/leaf blower, he turns it on, acts like he's vacuuming just to bother them. But then he sucks the paper out of Zach's hands, which he goes, you know, that's the homework with every answer on it. But then you see whatever the bag is attached to this leaf blower is transparent. It's a mesh bag. It's right there. So it's like, just grab it out of the bag. Easily you could just get it out of there, but they act like, oh my God, the answers
lost
are
forever.
Lost forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that made me laugh. And then, you know, Slater, he tries to kick Slater out, but he makes a face. He's all sad. And that's when Johanna's like, no, he could totally stay. So the three of them, you know, end up having their study date. So Slater totally ruins that. So the next night, it's Slater and Joanna going to the movies for like an actual date. And I did make a note of how Joanna is wearing something my mom, I swear, wore to the office when I saw her leave for work in like middle school.
I think my mom had it too. It was like a color blocked, very secretarial looking blouse.
Straight up like Chico's.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a very high, wide belt.
Yes.
And a pencil
and
skirt.
Huge shoulder pads.
Huge shoulder pads. Yeah. Which, by the way, her shoulder pads seem to get wider in every scene.
Every
almost
scene
as if
were.
She was trying to create a barrier between herself and her two suitors.
No, they totally did. They totally got bigger in every scene. And these are huge. And so, you know, it's her and Slater in her office attire. They go sit down. Now, these pranks are solid pranks, I gotta say. The first one, though, is Screech is an usher. Screech comes up and is an annoying usher, like shining a light in their face or whatever. Now, that one's weird because if you really go through the logistics of it, the movie theater's not going to hire you on the spot, give you that job that night.
Unless
you go rent an usher costume, which that's expensive.
Screech should not have a lot to do in this episode, and I feel like they were like, what if Screech was the usher?
Yeah, they had to
throw him
a bone. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he annoys them on their date as an usher, but then this lady, this prank would totally work as well as it did. Like, this is a real life thing where I'm like, this would work for many levels.
No, it was good. It was good.
Because, okay, so the lady comes in acting like Slater's mom, right? Zach pays her. She walks over and she's like, Slater, I can't believe you canceled on me on my birthday. We were going to go see a movie. And that's when he's like, what? I don't know who this person is. And this works on those levels of like, a teenager, of course, is going to be embarrassed by their parents.
Yeah.
So, of course, they're going to act like they don't know who it is.
Right. When, in fact, it is a total stranger.
Totally. But Johanna is like, oh, my God, is this your mom? And he's like, no. But that would happen if it really was. Because he would be like, mom, get out of here. Don't embarrass me on my date.
Was that a prostitute, Zach Page, impersonating Slater's mother?
That is a thing we've talked about in other episodes, too, because this is pre-internet. This is pre-Craigslist.
Yeah, like, where did he find someone you to pretend to be Slater's work. Mom?
Yes. Like, if you want to find an actor to, like, do your prank, you got to go out and do the legwork and go knock on acting schools.
Exactly.
And also be like,
open
hi.
Call, Latina. 30
totally.
Plus.
Like, yeah, this was also on a whim. He did this like the night of, so there's not enough time to like place an ad.
He was like feverishly sewing the Usher jacket and like calling acting schools at the same time.
And imagine if you're that lady, you're taking a job, like a teenage boy is like, can I pay you to prank my friend? And you're like, yes, I've got to feed my kids. Yes, teenage boy, I'll take this weird acting job from you.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, but it works. It works on every level. And so she ends up totally ruining the date, and Johanna thinks that Slater's a dick who, like, ignores his mom on his birthday. It's a perfect, beautiful prank. One of very, very few in this that logically works out on all levels, but it does. So totally ruins it. So the next day, they're back at school, and then that's when Slater and Zach are in the hallway, and they have their actual fight. And I love this, too, because they both... You know, Slater comes up like, I can't believe you ruined my date. When I was like, well, buddy, you ruined his date the night before, technically. Like, technically, you guys are even if you guys are keeping score on who's ruining what. But of course, they're like, what? You're a dick. You're a dick. So then they have an actual physical fight.
Which shocked me because it was really violent.
Yes.
It was really crazy. Like, it just exploded.
Yeah. And I really feel like it's like the only time in the series where there's like physical harm done.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of jokes and threats, but like, no, they actually are punching each other, rolling on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I turned to you and I said, does this happen a lot? Because I don't remember like wild fights, brawls on Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, this is definitely the most intense one. So they have their actual fight, and then that's when Belding, of course, calls him in the office, which in any other school, they would have just been like immediately expelled. We had fights in our school and like you were either suspended or expelled like that day.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you got to talk about it and like plead your case. It was like, no, you were fucking fighting.
I mean,
you're
at this point,
here.
Belding has invested so much in these two students that he can't throw them
like
out.
They're like his best friends, weirdly. Yeah. So he brings him in the office and he's like, what's the deal, you guys? And tries to, you know, talk some sense into them. And that's, but they're even more like, they're like, yeah, did you have a point to your dumb story? Like, they're even more... If he's given them chances with the fight, it's like, now, no, really, you should kick them out. Like, they're being dicks to you. So, he tells him this whole story about fighting over chicks and how it's lame and whatever. So, then, we're back in the hallway, and that's when Lisa's by her locker, and Darren comes up and is like, hey, you stood me up at the movies. Are we still going to this party? Like, what's the deal? And Lisa dumps him. And it's her business, do whatever. But I feel like you'd make up. She just straight up says to him, yo, you're a freshman.
Yeah.
You're gross. That's lame. Like, you would just make up an excuse, I feel. If you had a heart, I'd go, oh, I found out I can't go to the party. Or, oh, my grandma said, like, whatever. You just wouldn't be like, you're a freshman, you fucking dork. Ha ha.
I don't know. I might. I wouldn't be like, you're a fucking dork, but I'd be like, look, honey. Like, I would immediately adopt like a sisterly.
Like, pat him on the head.
Yeah, like, because I just, I can't overstate that this guy is like 14.
Right. No, yes, 14 and 18 for a girl and a guy.
It's just like.
Is weird. I don't know. I just feel like I'd make something up. She's like really in his face about it. Like, she's really like.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, she didn't handle it well.
Yeah. So he's like. You know, she's like, certainly you understand that. And he goes, how could I? I'm just an immature freshman. Which is like, well, yeah, you kind of are, though.
Yeah.
That's like her point. So then he walks off after he's humiliated by her.
I think the audience was like, huh.
Yeah. There's a little bit of an awe for him. And then then Zach and Slater are back in the hall and Johanna walks up and they're like, okay, you need to make your decision who you're going with. Like, she still would. Like, they have a chance in hell.
Yeah, I know.
And then that's when she goes off and is like, you guys have made my first week in a new school hell. You're the worst. This sucks. And that's when I was saying, there's a little part of her going, this is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
who hasn't wanted to
Yeah. You know. My first week at a school and these two honks, the school honks are literally fighting over me. Like, there's a little bit of you to be like, this is pretty cool.
A little exciting.
But yeah, she hates it. She's like, you guys are dicks. Get out of here. I'm not going with either of you. You ruined my first week at a new school. And then we cut to the senior.
Also, when you're a girl, you just, you know who you like.
Yeah.
It's not like I need to decide between Kevin and Kyle. At least it was never like that for me. It was like, I'm madly in love with Kyle. Everybody else can die.
Yeah.
I just, totally. This week.
And especially because these two guys are so different. They're such different types of dudes.
Oh my God. Wait, so you said Zach is your type in real life.
Yeah, he is.
And then
I hated it. And even I was like super into punk. I had blue hair in high school, all this kind of stuff, but I was still secretly into jocks. I hated it.
No, I love it.
To this day, it does not work out for me. It does not work out for me.
I don't think Slater is like my type, but if I went to Bayside,
you'd be into him?
That would be who I would wind up with.
But do you think, I feel like we were similar growing up, and I think this is a thing, like opposites, because, okay, my first husband, we were both grew up like into punk, like punk kids or whatever, but he totally wanted to date cheerleaders, and I totally wanted to date football players.
Dichotomy.
But I don't think it's the other way around. Like, those football players were not trying to date me in high school. Like, only the, like, skateboard dudes or whatever.
You know what, though?
Me.
That changes. In high school, the jocks don't go for the weird girls.
Yeah.
It changes in college. I had this discussion with a friend of mine once. That's when you start seeing the frat guys chase the freak girls. Surreptitiously.
Right.
On the DL.
Well, I didn't have a typical college. I didn't go to college until I was 23, and I was already married then or whatever. So I didn't get to have, like, the typical college experience. But
as I got older, I found, like, wholesome type, Zach Morris type dudes who were into me.
Yeah.
Because of it was like, oh, you're weird, and, like, this is, like, something my mom would hate.
See, that's funny.
But I didn't see that in high school. It was only, like, freaky guys that,
100%. Yeah. And I feel like, well, those guys are mainly the guys that, like, kind of holler at me now. The first guy I dated after my divorce was, like, Midwest, straight-laced, blonde-haired, blue-eyed muscle dude, who I think was, like, you're so weird, and I haven't had that weirdness in my life, so I'm into
it. There's like so many guys who saw like Garden State, and after that it was like for real, like I saw such a weird change in like my dating prospects that it was like, oh, like I want like a crazy helmet chick, like,
right? Yeah, but the thing that sucks is that so we dated for a while, but then when it got to brass tacks and it was like I need a wife and mom, it was like, you're too weird. That's what my last two boyfriends, I think it got to the when it got down to, all right.
That happens.
We're getting older. This is getting serious. Now you're too weird, and now I need a normal girl. And so I'm like, oh, so now what do I do? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not like that weird. Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like I'm screwed for life, but that's another topic for another day. Yeah, so they show up at the Max, and then, you know, the senior party's going on, and Lisa walks in with this guy, the freshman guy, holding hands with him, like, defiantly. The whole place goes silent.
You would think, like, I don't even know. Like, it's like everybody's been informed that he's a freshman.
Complete
silent.
And
they're just staring at them. Like she's just...
Like, how dare you?
How dare you? And it's just, it's very brave.
And it's like, if she didn't know, she didn't know he was a freshman, how would the entire senior class know that? Like, they wouldn't know. You could even lie and go, oh, he's a senior from another school or something. But yeah, they just, the silence falls on the crowd in the Max, and they're just like... Oh my God, I can't even believe this.
By the way, that was such like it was such a thing that happened on shows from that era. Like, remember Fresh Prince, when it was like Will wanted to date Queen Latifah, but like, oh, she was kind of on the bigger side, and he was embarrassed.
My God.
But then it was like it was so brave of him to.
Yes,
whatever.
Wasn't that an episode where like she was kind of his side chick when he was like dating Tyra Banks or something? Like, was he dating Tyra Banks when he was like way more into hanging out with Queen Latifah?
Of course he was.
He felt like he couldn't just because she was fat or whatever.
It was rough.
God, that kind of shit made me so sad. Because I would watch those shows and I'd be like, this is me. Like, this is what's happening to me.
I know.
Because that was totally my thing in high school. It was like, dudes wanted to hang out with me all day long because they're like, oh, you're so cool and you know cool stuff. But then they're like, oh, but I'm going to go on a date with this, like, pretty blonde chick. And I was like, oh, what?
That's totally how it was.
Yeah.
And by the way, being like geeky was not cool then the way it is now. Like, now it's like,
no.
Whatever.
Yeah. Or that was when being alternative was still, like, a thing. And, like, got you made fun of.
Okay, not to just, like, take the train way off the tracks, but you know what was the most unrealistic pairing on, like, early 90s television?
Who?
Blossom and that fucking hot bad boy that she was... Like, no.
Yes.
That guy never dates Blossom, ever.
God, what was his name?
I know, because I was Blossom.
No, like, I totally agree with you. I totally, that was the thing is when I would watch, yes, totally agree with you. Yeah. I mean, I didn't really like date, I had a high school boyfriend for my junior and senior years, and that was like my high school boyfriend. I didn't like date.
Yeah.
Because I just did, I wasn't like gross. I just wasn't, no dudes. They were like, we're bros, right? We're going to high five all night.
Yeah.
And that was my thing. And then they're like, I hang out with you, and then I go to my pretty girlfriend, and we go on dates. And that was like my life. That continued to be my life way too well into my old age.
Yeah. It's kind of weird how on this show there's so little diversity of character. Because if you think about it, like, Zach and Slater are both popular guys.
Yeah.
Lisa, Nomi Malone, what's her name? Jessie.
Yeah.
And, yes, Nomi. And Kelly are all just, like, pretty girls.
Yeah.
And then I guess Screech is, like, slightly weird. But other than that, it's like they couldn't have.
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, they don't hit. It's like boring. Everyone's really cool boring except Screech.
Yeah, so who like, they treat like a pet.
Yeah.
Like an iguana.
Yeah.
That you like bring around to get attention.
Totally. Totally. There's not, the degrees of coolness don't really fluctuate. It's like a cool crew and then our dorky friend Screech that we let hang out with us, I guess. It's
really strange.
No, I totally agree. Because I hung out with people of varying degrees of coolness. It wasn't mm-hmm. like, you know. Yeah. No, it's totally
are they
true.
The most popular kids at Bayside? We're supposed to think so,
we're
right?
Supposed
because
to
they're
so.
Always like the prom queen or whatever.
And they run everything. Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Weird. It's such a weird show.
Yeah. So everyone's silent. They can't believe Lisa brings a freshman and she basically says, deal with it, everybody. And that's fine. So then Zach shows up and he goes to the table to be like, hey guys, have a good senior year. And they're like, where's Slater? And he goes, Slater who? And I just love that because I'm like, oh, you guys had a fight like 2 hours ago and now you're going to try to act like you don't know who he is.
Wait, can I talk about the color symbolism?
Oh my God, yes. Well, because then Slater walks in and they're standing side by side.
Zach and Slater walk in. And in the fight scene that we previously saw, this violent brawl.
Yes.
Slater is wearing this bright, bright teal shirt that you can't miss.
Yes.
And Zach is in kind of like a taupe gray shirt.
Yes.
In this next scene at the senior party, Zach walks in wearing a bright, bright teal shirt. This cannot be an accident. Like,
yes.
The wardrobe people know what they've used already in the episode.
Right.
And now Slater is wearing the gray, taupe-ish shirt.
That's right.
Which I feel like this has to be a conscious choice by the director to show that, like, even like they're like deep down they're the same despite having like they're really just the same man in different coloration.
Right. I love that you compared it to Breaking Bad.
Yeah,
by the
I said
way.
It's like Breaking Bad because you know Breaking Bad they did all that crazy stuff with colors where like the wife's name is Skylar and the meth is called Sky Blue, but like they did all kinds of interesting stuff like that.
Right.
Or like it was one character who always wore purple, and I think they were going for that a little bit.
Right.
I think Peter Engel
ahead of his time was like, you
yeah.
guys, we have to keep in mind the
it
coloring.
It can't be a coincidence.
No, I agree with you because we rewound it, went back to the fight scene, and it is like it's too similar. It is crazy. So it is showing that like they're united regardless.
Exactly.
You know, there are two sides of the same coin kind of thing.
That there, you nailed it. Two sides of the same coin.
Definitely.
Interchangeable in this scenario. And so they get in a little bitch fight here.
Well, my favorite part of this, though, is that so Slater shows up and he's like, okay, fuck Zach, I'm going to go over here. And then he goes to the punch bowl because then Zach is like, I'll be right back, you guys, I'm thirsty. Makes a beeline not only for the punch bowl, but for the ladle. Slater's sitting there holding the ladle, you know, to scoop some punch out. Zach just immediately puts his hand on it.
Yeah.
Which, even if you're fighting with somebody, you'd be like, I can wait a couple seconds while you just get some punch, buddy. It's fine. But he is like, arms out, stretch, makes a beeline for the ladle in the punch bowl. And then that's when they both find themselves holding it at the same time. And that's when they're like, dude, fuck you. Let me get some punch. And he's like, whatever. I was here first. And then they start fighting over that,
they
over
start
the punch.
Splashing punch on each other, which I didn't see coming. It's just weird.
And they are so close to breaking because there's one point like they look like they're about to laugh constantly during the scene, but then you know the stakes get raised to where they're throwing punch on each other, and then Zach throws it down Slater's shirt, and then Zach puts it down his pants, and that's when they're really like laughing.
Yeah,
they're just straight up laughing at that point.
I mean, this had to have been a fun set.
What a fun day at work this was.
I
now Mr. Belding comes to break it up, and then he is like, hey, don't fight, guys. Gets in the middle. And then that's when he so strategically places his head such that in the scuffle, yeah, like, they throw his toupee into the punch. And they all laugh hysterically.
Yeah, and they treat it like it's this huge reveal. Like, we didn't know what Mr. Belding's real hair looked like until this moment.
Right, because they're all, like, gasping, like, oh, my God. And it's like, well, you guys already knew that. But also, it's the weirdest ending ever, because they do that, and then everybody laughs, and then Mr. Belding just, like, leaves, and leaves his hair in the punch bowl.
You would think he would retrieve, like, his expensive hair piece. You'd think
take it and put it in the trash.
Like, there goes your sex life.
Yes!
Your wife is not going to be into you anymore.
Totally! But he just goes, he's like, all right, and, like, walks out the door with his weird hair, like, just leaves. Just fully doesn't acknowledge it, doesn't go, oh, that's weird, you guys knocked my hair in the punch. Yeah. So he walks off, and then, of course, after all that and, like, that craziness, they're like, what? We're friends again. And then they do their weird secret handshake. And they're buddies. And then we never hear from Johanna again. She's never in another episode.
Of course not.
And that's how it ends.
Now, I mean, it had all the elements that I expected.
How did you watch this growing up? Like, regularly?
Yeah, definitely. I watched it, like first run.
Yeah, if totally.
Like, I watched it while it was on.
Yeah.
And I've seen reruns here and there in the last few years. It's been a while since I sat down and watched a whole episode from beginning to end.
Right, right.
And I have to say, it's as I remember it.
See, me too. I totally watched it first run when it was Saturday mornings. And then, as I've said, like, when I got home from school, it came on 4 times in a row in high school. So I watched it then too. But yeah, watching it with adult eyes, I mean, it's like as ridiculous, but it's more, me, I'm more like, there's so many, like, illegal things happening.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the running of businesses. And, the thing of, like, Zach hiring an actress is, like, how did you do, just thinking of trying to do that when I was a teenager, like, I wouldn't even know where to start.
I have to say that's the criticism everybody always has of the show. It's, like, Zach would never be able to pull all this stuff off.
Right, right.
But I have to say the sad part for me about this episode is I was looking forward to some Zach Kelly interaction.
Oh,
and there
really?
Is, like, none.
Yeah, well, this is in this weird nebulous time where
they weren't together.
No, they're not together, but it's, like, this weird time, because remember, she dumps him for Jeff, she goes out with Jeff for a minute, then they're broken up for a bit, and then they do get back together later. It's weird. I don't know. But at any given time, I'm like, I don't know if they're together or not unless I watch the first few minutes of the episode, then I'm like, oh, I guess they're together now.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember if there's an episode where they officially are like, we are back together, and, like, have a scene about
it. So you think it just, they just... There has to be. They must transition them back into couple.
I'll have to wait. I mean, like, I've got a few more to go, so, like, we'll see. But I don't remember that being a thing.
Oh, my Lord, woman.
Yeah. I've got, like, 20 more to go. But, this is a time where they're not together.
How many episodes are there total?
Like, 86? Something like that? 85, 86?
There's only 86 episodes to say by the... I thought you were going to say, like, 400.
It feels that way sometimes, but no, it's only, like, in the 80s.
And you've done this 60-odd times.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going in order. This is, I forget which number this is, but yes.
Are there things you've noticed about the show during this experiment that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise because you're watching it in such a, like, I feel like this is typically a second screener type show for people where you're like, you watch it while you're doing something else.
Right, right.
Whereas you're doing, like, focused.
Yeah, this is focused shit. Yes, there are a few. I'm obsessed with the Max and the business plan thereof and the fact that you never see it from the outside ever, ever.
That's true.
You do only see a sketch in the opening credits. It's like a sketch, literally a pencil sketch. But you never see it from the outside. They never tell you the location, like whether or not it's attached to the school, because they're always there. So
I've never thought of it as being attached to the school.
Some people are like, I think it's attached to school. I don't know. They don't tell you, like, the business hours. They don't tell you how it always has school functions there. Like, even the senior kickoff party is there. When
it
I'm
is
like,
weird.
It's a business. It's an independent business. So the fact that they hold so many school functions there trips me up, because to me, it's like going to, like, an Applebee's and being like, have my school party here. They'd be like, what? No, we're an Applebee's. Like,
it is weird.
Yeah, so
Max himself, a weird character.
Max is a weird character. The Max, out of everything, trips me up the most. And now watching this again, like I said, with adult eyes who knows somewhat about, like, business things, maybe, it's just like, I don't get how it's open.
Like, why did they let those four kids just, like, monopolize the whole table when they were only having soda?
Soda they never drank. Also, you're totally right. And they also get to rent it out all the time. Like, they'll go, hey, you know, their time when they have a fight with each other, it's a few episodes ago, and they rented out the Max to, like, show Kelly and Jesse how much they care about them by putting on this thing. And it's like five of them rented out a business. They rented out a popular restaurant on like a Friday night. These five kids. How did that happen?
I love that that's what you're fixated on. It's like,
I'm so obsessed with it.
I agree. I never thought about it that way.
I'm so obsessed with the ease with which they can just come and go into this business as they please.
Here's a question. I feel like I should know this. Do they ever show Zach's parents?
Yes.
They do.
They do. Weirdly, I don't think together, but they show Derek Morris a bit.
Oh, okay.
Because he sells computers. And then they show, yeah, Zach's mom is really into Peter, Paul, and Mary. So she comes into his room one day and is like, do you want to go to the Peter, Paul, and Mary concert?
But she's not on a lot of episodes.
No, it's probably like four or five.
Okay.
Maybe tops.
Because when Slater's quote unquote mom walked in, I was like, that could well be his mother and I wouldn't know.
That is interesting because I don't think they ever show his mom. They show his dad because he's like a general.
What if the twist is that was actually his mother?
Yeah. In a later episode, they forget that they had her fake it and they're like, oh, it is his mom. I really don't think they ever show his mom. I really don't. They just show his dad, the general.
Yeah.
When they have to do like show that he's like a strict military dude. And I don't think, they show Kelly's parents ever. His dad. They show her dad because when he loses his job because world peace breaks out. Because he works at like a nuclear power plant or nuclear weapon
manufacturer. I do not remember that episode.
Yeah. He has to come in and be like, peace broke out, so I lost my job. It's pretty great. And then they get sad when I'm like, peace broke out. That should be the focus.
Peace broke out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You know I'm obsessed with Tori.
The Tori years?
Yeah, I was kind of obsessed it would be a Tori. I was kind of hoping it would be
you could come back.
A Tori episode.
You're more than welcome to come back. The Tori episodes are coming up in like 10 episodes or so.
Yeah, it's just so strange. It's so tonally strange to have her on there.
Oh, well, you are more than welcome to
come
back.
Well, maybe I'll come back.
This is an open invitation to come back for Tori. Okay, well, your Twitter is at Diablo Cody.
That's me. Even though it's not verified, it is me.
How are you not verified?
I've been on Twitter for 6 years. I'm still not verified.
How is that possible?
I don't know. They just don't want to verify me.
That stuff is so random anyway.
Wouldn't it be weird if I was like, not actually, I always am like, one day I should just be like, this has never been me.
Yeah, this has never been me. It's like, a good thing you didn't verify
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but it's me.
That is weird. Well, again, that just seems like such an arbitrary, like, I've seen some people verified where I'm like, who are you? Why
like,
is
once
this
a year,
mattering?
I'll tweet at verified and be like, hey, can you verify me? Just because I feel like, you know, maybe some people aren't following me because
they think
this
it's
is fake.
Sure.
And then they never respond.
That's
and
weird.
And they say, this is sad. Forget it. I'm not going to get into a big verification.
No, but I heard that you had to like know somebody at Twitter to get it done or something.
No, they said if you're at an agency, which I am, you can tell your agent and they'll get it done in like a day. But I was like, I'm not going to fucking be like, hey.
Hi, agent.
Can you get me verified on Twitter? Like, what a pathetic call to make to your fucking agent. Like,
I got
no
something
thanks.
Really important for you
yeah,
to
like,
today.
No, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, everybody listening, let's start a letter writing campaign.
No, you don't have to do that.
Let's get it done.
Anyone who's listening to me on the Saved by the Bell podcast is probably following me on Twitter. I hope.
No, that's true. It's probably true.
Or it could just be your huge fan base and maybe there's people who've never heard of me.
I have an enormous fan base. It's so huge.
I know it.
Tens of people listen to this. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, you guys, that was another episode of Go Bayside. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
Being
it was
here.
Awesome.
And I was only joking about the fans. You guys are awesome, and thank you.
You do have a vast fan base. That was no sarcasm on my end. I'm saying like I might get some new friends on Twitter thanks to doing.
No,
this.
It's actually, and this is a good segue to apologize that I'm getting so many emails that I can't answer all of them in a timely manner. So please don't be mad if it takes me a few weeks or a month to answer your emails. Don't take it personally. I appreciate all of them. And and keep leaving iTunes reviews, nice ones, please. And the next episode, I do believe the next episode I have coming up is either going to be the Mystery Weekend episode or Student Teacher Week. And the reason I say that is it depends on my upcoming guest's schedule. So it's going to be one of those two for you watching along. And I'm going to have to arrange it according to who can come do it. And
look how close Tori is.
Yeah, Tori's only like 10 episodes or so away. Not even. Maybe like 5 or 6.
Exciting.
It's like these episodes. But yeah, okay. And I will see you guys next time on Go Bayside. Beep, 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 go Bayside!